Blog Talk Radio.
This is the truthaboutchurch.com. We are a Christian lifestyle network. Here you will find the latest in Christian news, scripture, themes that affect the Christian world, and sound teaching. Find out what God has for you here. Enjoy the ride.
Good evening, everyone. This is another episode of The Truth About Church. And today's episode, the question that we are asking is, how involved should clergy be with social issues and politics? Today's show, you happen to have me, William, Yolanda, Sage, and Pastor Kelly. Everyone, how you all doing?
Bless.
Bless indeed. Heart is a little heavy today, though.
Pastor Kelly, would you open us up in prayer? Because we have a lot of stuff to get to.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you on this broadcast, we want to ask you to bless each and every listener out there. Bless us as we go forward discussing your word and your truth. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, normally our news segment, which is normally the first segment we do, doesn't typically go that long, but there are just some news stories out here that we'd be remiss if we did not discuss them. First thing is, we just offer our prayers and condolences to those who had those in San Bernardino who lost loved ones.
Yeah.
And another senseless killing. I don't understand why this is happening in this country, where people just going off and just decided to just go commit mass murder.
Yeah. If I may, if it's all right, I want to go ahead and give a few quick points. Number one, you know, that's pretty much my neck of the woods, you know. San Bernardino County through Los Angeles. I mean, that's my old stomping ground. So that's why my heart is definitely a little heavy today. Real quick, what we do know is that around 11 a.m., at least one shooter opened fire in San Bernardino at the Inland Regional Center in a facility that serves people with developmental disabilities. Preliminary numbers, at least 14 people. 14 people were killed and 17 were wounded. This is according to what San Bernardino police said. And police said that there was 1 to 3 assailants. And in other words, they're not even entirely sure how many there are, just about 1 to 3. Uh-huh. And they were heavily armed and possibly wearing body armor. There apparently was a car chase where one suspect has been shot by police, and authorities said one might still be at large. The status of another person seen in vehicle at the end of the chase is unclear. Investigators are not sure whether the shooting was an act of terrorism. An FBI official said, "Are you freaking kidding me? You're not sure." Okay. Well. But that's the current report from the LA Times right now.
And we will continue to follow that story over the next few days, because we're trying our best to do 2 to 3 shows a week in addition to our Wednesday primetime show. It's nice to be on primetime. For those out there who are listening, if you want to call in, make a comment, you can reach us at 347-850-1622. You can press 1 if you want to make comments, or you can communicate with us in the chat room, which Blog Talk, thankfully, finally has working today.
Yay!
There are so many news issues. Another issue that was senseless is it comes out of New York, where an insular church, a.k.a. a cult, pastors and seven others have beaten a teenager to death. Now, we all make jokes about how you go to church and people pretty much beat you on the altar to tarry for the Holy Ghost, which is funny to me because if you're supposed to tarry, which means to wait for something, why are you being hurried to try to get it?
All right, now.
So I don't understand that. But this church, maybe they took things a little bit too far.
Uh-huh.
And so you should not get killed in church. And this happened all the way back in October. And so
Lord have mercy.
You have to be careful of what church you join. And this is one of the nice things about working with Pastor Kelly on a show like this. Pastor Kelly, if someone were to come to you and ask you for a copy of church bylaws, how would you respond? How would you feel about that?
I wouldn't feel bad at all. They have every right to find out how the church, the particular church that I pastor, operate and how we do things, and we should be open about, you know, how we hold service and what is the particulars in the service and everything, and see if it fits the criteria of their worship or how they go about doing church. That's how I feel about that.
And that's how I always felt about that. People don't understand what they're joining. So it happens to be Bruce T. Leonard and Deborah R. Leonard, first-degree manslaughter. This was originally a counseling session that lasted 14 hours.
Wow.
Wow.
And the victim, which was a 19-year-old, expressed desire to leave the church. And this is what was believed to initiate the long counseling session. The 17-year-old brother was in serious condition after suffering blunt force trauma during the same session. So it's unclear why this beatdown had taken place. Mm-hmm. But it just goes to show you how heavy-handed some churches happen to be. So now they're held on bond. It's going to one trial. We'll wait and see what happens, and hopefully we'll have some more news. It looks like the injury was going to be what I'm reading is, and Sarah said doctors took an injury to Lucas' groin area to be a gunshot wound, an entry wound. So a gunshot wound to the groin.
Ooh. Man.
Wow.
Not cool.
This call themselves a church?
A loving example of Christ.
Right.
This is what's going on. And I believe right now what we're actually witnessing, and I know people are here that are listening, or whether it's live or on the archives, I'm going to probably wonder, when y'all going to talk about Trump? That's really one of the main subjects. And that's another segment. That's the next segment. But there's so much news to get through. You'd be surprised how much stuff can be found in a week. I know I was shocked. This next story, and I said before, we will continue to follow this, and hopefully these people get the book thrown at them.
Mm-hmm.
But the next story we'll move to, I don't know what to say about this next one. This is one that I know we talked about in our meeting, but Ohio pastor marries 19-year-old fiance. Except there's one slight problem.
Mm.
He already has a wife, and she agreed to it.
Okay.
I'll let that rattle around your brains for a moment. Polygamy. Man has a wife. Man has a girlfriend. Man now has two wives. this man is not just an ordinary man. Tom Bell, that's a producer from back in the day. Tom Miller is a pastor. What the heck is he teaching in his church?
Quote, Christian, unquote, pastor. Boy.
Well, he's also, well, you got to look at his past. He's a former mob enforcer. But, you know, I guess we can't hold that against him because that was his past. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. How do you get away with having a wife and a girlfriend? You're not getting away with it, but as a Christian, a professed Christian, why would you want? It's just nasty. Here's a news story. This part was written yesterday by Irene Cabrera. He's 60, and his first wife is 44. So he gets permission, and it's the quote at the end of it that really disturbs me. He says, I have no problem with homosexuals, but I think it's wrong that their marriage is not recognized by the state, but my second marriage is not. I'm going to try and fight the bigotry of that, he says. This is America,
okay.
And my wives and I have the right to live any way we please, provided we're not hurting anyone. Okay, first off, from a male point of view, we know what happens during that time of the month, ladies. Why do you want to go through that twice?
Right.
Well, to be fair, I do believe it ends up synchronizing, so it'll just be one long and intense process. But even more so, one of the thoughts that I had was, you know, Adam. He only had one wife, and still things got screwed up.
He couldn't handle her. He couldn't deal with her appropriately.
But jokes aside, truth be told, when you look at the way the law is written, he actually has some bases in his argument. I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm calling it for what it is. Now, in terms of him being a pastor, it is written clear as crystal that a pastor should have self-control, married to one wife. I mean, that's written clear as day. So when you put yourself up there and say, okay, I am a Christian pastor, those are the standards you are supposed to adhere to, which, you know, technically, there is no technically about it. He's really disqualified. He shouldn't even be considered such.
And we'll examine that.
Right. As far as an American citizen, yeah, I have to agree. As far as American citizen, yeah, he has every right to fight this. But
okay,
as far as Christian pastor, oh no, he's in violation.
Okay, here's another thing that's interesting from this article that was discussed. They are currently living in a smaller home where each of the wives get 3 nights with him before the other one takes her turn in spending the night with him.
They ain't taking turns. That 44-year-old wife likes the flavor of carpet. She's a carpet nut. That's what that is.
You got the only one laughing.
Well, I gotta agree.
Hello, Walls. Hello, Seven. Hello, somebody.
I gotta agree with that. But this is what he goes on to say. He goes on to say, I don't preach about polygamy, but I feel that it's a very Christian lifestyle.
He don't preach about polygamy. See, a broke man, a broke-legged man can't stand on nothing. So, of course, he ain't going to preach on it or preach against it because he got a broke leg in that area. Anytime you find a pastor dancing around certain subjects and don't like to touch on it, he's involved.
Uh-oh.
You find some pastors sitting up there, don't even want to mention anything about smoking dope and drinking and partying. homosexuality, you're having girlfriends and having wives and all that. You don't see him touching on that? Not even in a light way. Somewhere in that area, he has a broke leg. He can't stand on it.
Makes sense.
And if he step on it, if he step on something with a broke leg, he can't put no pressure on it. He couldn't put no weight on it. It's gonna hurt him.
Well, this is a morally bankrupt man. And that's
very
probably the
so.
Best way to put. That's probably the best way to put it. Is that he's indeed morally bankrupt, and I just don't get it. How in good conscience you can just say this is okay? I don't normally teach this. But this is what I believe. I believe it, but I won't teach it.
You know, it goes to what Pastor Kelly's point. And you don't just see this with this situation, and you see it with many others. From when it comes to love of money, self control, and what bothers me about this is how this person had the audacity to try to put homosexuality on blast. Essentially, what's going on here? You're talking about sexual immorality all the way around.
For some strange reason,
and this has been going on for years spawn in. You have folks who have literally sat there, picked and choose what's convenient for them out of scripture to justify the sin that they're living. And if they can't justify it, well, they just go ahead and tap dance around it. Pretty much like this guy did. Even though it might be the one leg jigabug, but he's still dancing around the subject, nonetheless.
Well, there's a lot of pastors right about now. This time, it's quite a few pastors tap dancing around stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't want to bury the lead or expose the lead too early, but like this, for whatever reason, this is the time of year where you're hearing more about politicians and preachers than you are Jesus, and he's supposed to be the main reason that we're celebrating this time of year.
That's why the churches is empty, because Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to thee." And we ain't lifting up Jesus. We lifting up our pride, man.
That's right.
it's almost amazing. You know, here we are, December 2nd. Now, don't get me wrong. Last year did a pretty awesome show about Christmas and whatnot. But I can't lie to you. I'm starting to miss hearing Christmas music and all this stuff with all the mess that's going on.
Okay.
This is that time of year. Usually, folks are supposed to be more friendly or whatnot, just cause. But between these shootings and what's going on with these pastors, I'm telling you, it's really disheartening. For those who truly do study for themselves, for those who truly do spend time with Christ, I've noticed that a lot of hearts are really heavy for their people, for their friends, for their family, and simply for the state of the church. Because calling for what's going on here should not be. It should not be.
No, it should not be. Sage, you had another news story. Actually, no, I'll turn to Yolanda. Yolanda, for those out there that wanted to make sure that their Cyber Monday Christmas stuff was in order, tell us about the offering that was presented for us to purchase.
Prophetess Dewan of Jacksonville, Florida, had a Cyber Monday special on the prophetic. She feels that if you can have a Good Friday and Cyber Monday for the world, why can't you do it for the church? So she had a special going. but she will still take your money now, even though it's after Cyber Monday. She'll still take your money.
So what was exactly offered for Cyber Monday?
Tapes, books, and a prophetic word.
And a, my goodness. I heard it was all like 50% off Cyber Monday.
Yes, 50% off, yes.
My goodness.
I'm here.
Man,
what's
I, you know,
Lord have mercy.
I'm gonna go to the beach. I'm gonna go get some sand from Florida and take it to the California beach and sell it to people that's just walking up and down the beach. Sell it by the cups. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And like I was telling somebody a few months ago, the church has turned into a sideshow.
Yeah.
It's just a sideshow.
The church is in business to make money. Get that? Can y'all please get that all up and through y'all spirit? Heaven or hell, they don't care where you go. They don't care if you go to heaven or hell. It's about money. They are in business to make money by any means necessary. If it means having a Black Friday sale, having a some churches with a Thanksgiving Day service.
Yep.
Yeah, but well, Sage, you also happen to have another news story for us, correct?
Well, yes, you are very much so correct. And this news, with this news story, we are really switching gears here. I know the last two, albeit as serious as they are, kind of comedic, but this one takes a turn here. So, this news story comes to us by way of WND.com, where Pastor Daniel Hill offered up a prayer of repentance for fellow members of his white community, saying, quote, "The Caucasian race has treated blacks poorly and requires forgiveness from God." He wanted to confess on behalf of his white brothers and sisters on the devaluation of black lives. He repented for violent acts and even went on to CNN to speak with host Brooke Baldwin on how he was simply publicly acknowledging the sins that whites have committed over the course of American history.
So nice and bless his heart and all his part.
My sentiments,
okay.
Exactly. I hear something like that, and I'm like, okay, so you're admitting to something that we have known for years and years. Okay.
But he didn't do it.
No, he didn't do it.
It's the past out of my stomping ground, Chicago.